book of 1st, 2nd Peter. 2nd Peter. And in our last study of this second epistle, the Apostle Peter, we once again made our way through the difficulties of understanding our responsibilities and the role of grace in meeting these responsibilities. No man can tell where that line is. And it's a difficult line to walk at times, because we do have responsibilities that the Lord gives us, and we're going to see a little bit of that this morning. But it's always accomplished by God's grace. And I say that because there was a day when we all walked not according to God's will, not even caring to God's will, didn't we? We walked according to our own will, according to the lust of our own flesh. We had no desire for God's grace, the true grace in His Son, the Lord Jesus. We had no desire for His grace and His mercy to us. We had no need of it. So, our walk this day, in these times when the Lord has called us out of that darkness, is only a walk that is accomplished by His grace. But it must be accomplished. We must walk it. We must run the race. Peter laid a wonderful foundation for us in verses 1 through 4, declaring grace in precious faith. Didn't he? Isn't that what he said in verse 1? Precious faith? Well, how do we have faith? We have faith by the grace of God. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith that is given to us from Him. Not of works, lest man should boast. We saw that grace and peace is multiplied through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 2. We saw that grace in those whom this knowledge is bestowed upon is grace by divine power. It's bestowed on us by the divine power, as it states in verse 3. And grace in the promises that make us partakers of a divine nature. See what I mean by that? It is our responsibility to walk a certain way, but even when we do, it is still by the grace of God, because there was a day when we had no desire to. It's the same thing as saying, I love my Lord, but I love my Lord because He first loved me. And then Peter takes us through a series of statements declaring faith without results is empty faith. Read verses 8, 9, and 10 once again if you would with me. For if these things be in you, Peter says, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged of his old sins. From his old sins. Wherefore, that rather, brethren, give diligence, give care to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Now, I want to stop, because that word fall does not mean fall. I made some comments in Friday night's Bible study about how the people of God fell away when the Lord ceased sending prophets into the land of Egypt, the nation of Egypt fell away. Well, natural Egypt, natural man will fall away. But God's people can never fall away. We can stumble, and that's what that word fall means. It means to stumble. It does not mean to fall away. We are kept, as it says in 1 Peter, as I brought out in Friday night's study, we are kept by the power of God. Nothing can turn the hand of God. He does what He pleases. And He has all power in heaven and earth. So we stop there and we remind ourselves, nothing can separate us from the love that we have, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Our salvation is secured in the person and the works of our Savior, and He is God in the flesh. His works are perfect. His substitutionary death for us satisfied the justice of God for you and I. What you and I deserved was laid upon Him, and God is satisfied with what His Son did for you and I. You know, it's not my intention to go back and rehash this point, but I want to continue forward, and in order to do so, we have to keep in mind as we look into verse 12. Will you look with me there? Wherefore, I will not be negligent, writes Peter, to put you always in remembrance of these things. Now, I want you to catch what he says here after that. Though ye know them. You folks all know this already. You already know what we just read, all those points that Peter brought out, how we would be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, for if these things be not in us, or that we might lack at these things and we be blind and cannot see afar off. We already know that. But look what he says next in this last part is, though ye know them and be established, that means rooted, held on to, kept by the power of God in the present truth. Now I thought about that. What is Peter trying to tell us here? Folks, if we think we don't need reminders, then why do we come to the Lord's table? What do? When we come to the Lord's table, we come to the Lord's table in remembrance of Him. Now I'm going to preach a little to myself right now, because I don't know anybody as weak as I am in the faith. But if we think we don't need reminders of these points because we have grace, then aren't we being presumptuous, John? Am I not acting a little self-righteous if I don't think I need to be reminded of these things? Am I not being a little arrogant, maybe? Are these words inspired by the Holy Ghost only for one who has never heard the Word of God, one who is new in their walk with the Lord? I don't think so. Turn with me over. Mark your page there, Peter, and turn a couple pages over to the right to the book of Jude. In Jude verse 3, we read these words, "Beloved, brothers and sisters in Christ, those who are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called," as it says in verse 1, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Then it goes through verse 4, explaining to us that certain men have crept into the church of that time, and we look out for those kinds of men there. But I want to read verse 5. I want you to see verse 5. We're talking about arrogance and not thinking we don't need to be reminded of our walk before God, that we don't need to be reminded of our responsibility. Yes, we are saved by grace. Verse 5, "I will therefore put you into remembrance that ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." Is this not why we preach Christ and Him crucified over and over and over and over again? I sat under it for all those years with Pastor Gene because that's what I needed. I needed to be reminded.
Amen.
How often do we go out through those doors and forget? I needed to be reminded of who my Lord is. The world is too much for this poor flesh that stands before you. You ready to go home, Bill? So am I. That's what we were talking about earlier. This world is not my home. I want to go to my real home with my Father in heaven, where I don't have this heartache anymore of the sin that's around us, death. Or even worse, the sin that's in me. The forgetfulness of who my Lord is. And why do I walk a certain way? Because He first loved me. I need to hear it. I need to be reminded. I need to hear that the battle is won. And knowing that it's won, I can press on. Do we preach works? Yes. But only, and only, as a result of grace. Grace in my life. Now, I'll show you an example of this in just a second here. Not a part of grace. Grace stands alone, or it's no longer grace. The Bible is scripture about, scripture is clear about that. Grace is unmerited favor, something we don't deserve. Listen to the words of Ephesians 5, 24 through 25. And tell me that this is not works by grace. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Take it to the Lord in prayer. You folks know how often I got to pray to my Lord, Lord, help me to be a better husband. Help me to love my wife. Even just a little, like the Lord loves me. I love my wife, but I don't love her the way I wished I did. I wished I loved her way more. Colossians 3, 18 through 19, we read a similar verse. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Peter sees by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, even though we know and are established in the truth of grace, we need reminding. Don't be slothful in your walk. Here's what the Bible says about slothfulness. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. One more thing. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 6 for a moment, and we'll look again at this word slothful. Hebrews chapter 6, I'm sorry, chapter 6. And in verse 7, we read something very interesting. It says, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh often upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meat, that means worthy of, good for, for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. The blessings of God produce fruit and herbs, which is good for them that dress the earth. Now, 8 through 15, if you would. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto the cursing, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, Brothers and sisters in Christ, those who love the Lord, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Did you notice what the labor was? It's a labor of love. It's not a labor to receive something. It's a labor of love for Him who first loved us. Where was I? No, it was right there in front of me. Verse 10. Thank you, brother. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence, the same care, the same look to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Remember those precious promises Peter was talking about there in the first verse, or second verse of 2 Peter chapter 1? They inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessings I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, patiently walked, continued that walk, he obtained the promise. Now back in our text in 2 Peter, and we'll just be another moment here. I'm struggling this morning, folks. You'll bear with me. I think I had an overdose of sugar last night. You know that cheesecake we had Friday night? I was on the phone talking. Kathy brought it in and gave it to me, and I didn't pay attention how much it was. I just started eating. I ate the whole thing. And oh my goodness, I got so sick last night. Back in our text, let's read verses 13 through 21, and then we'll close with two other scriptures. Yea, Peter writes, I think it meet, I think it proper, as long as I am in this tabernacle, this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor, I will take great care, that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to read, turn over to Philippians chapter 1, and while you're turning there, allow me to read these words from 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture. I was reading an article, a little paperback book by A.W. Pink. And he's talking in there about the foolishness of Christians. And he bounces back and forth, debating one side of Arminianism against the other side of Calvinism. And he points out on how both sides are failing at preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God. And he brought out in one of his statements, and I thought this was so true. I'm not going to say I agree with all that he wrote in that book, but it was interesting to read along and see where John Reeves comes up short. Where do I go into scriptures and I look at it and I say, oh, I can't preach that. I can't preach that. That might offend some Calvinists. And I just found that quite interesting. But we read these words in 2 Timothy 3, Paul giving Timothy encouragement. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, over in Philippians chapter 1, I just want to read one verse. But before I do, I want to say this. I must stand before God's people and remind us, as I need to remind myself, that there is a line, but both are taught responsibility and grace. But if I don't include the gospel, the good news that my Lord has given me everything I need, not just in salvation, but everything I need to walk in my responsibility, then I have failed the gospel of Christ. Everything we have comes from Him. We have no confidence in this flesh, ever. But that doesn't mean we lay down and do nothing. Verse 6, we read these words of Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing. Here's my confidence. My confidence is not in the works that I do. It's not in what I think I am fulfilling in my responsibilities. It's in this, that He which hath begun a good work in you, in me, Him, our Savior, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen.